We're on the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We have the Suffolk of Rava, where the Bosa Mikar Azlinon, or Bosa Tavar Mon Azlinon, and we discussed the great length in the previous shiur. And now the Gemara wants to come to some conclusion, Tashma, a Brisa that records a Machlokes about Hidus. Hidus means that the chicken, the hen, broke a kli by jumping up on top of it, dancing on it, as Rashi says. The first opinion of Raisa is Eino Muad. In other words, you only pay Chatzi Nezek. The Yesh Omrim, a second opinion, Hare Ze Muad. And you pay Nezek Shalom. So the Gemara asks the following question, Hidus Salkid Daitach? Could it be possible that if the tarnagol is dancing on top of this utensil and it breaks it, the Bailam should not pay the full nezek? That's the way the tarnagolus behaves. So the Gemara lays down a psychological or zoological premise here about the behavior of an animal, in this case a tarnagolus, and the tarnagol jumps and dances. This is not a shinui, this is regular classical behavior that's anticipated. It's not anything other than regel mamish. This is regel. So where's the room for someone to say eino muad? That's the Gemara's kash. Ella says the Gemara lav. There's another way of interpreting this brisa. Hidus vehitu vehitis. We're talking about a case of tsroros. As a result of the animal jumping up and down on this utensil, the kli itself shot out, rolled to another place, and that's where it was broken. And the subject, the root of this machlokas, the two deis in the braisa, is the suffix of Rava. Demar Sofer, according to the Man Yomar, who says that he's a muad to pay Nezek Shalom, Sabar Basar Mikar Azlinon. We look at the mice itself at the beginning. The very moment that the tarnagol jumps up and down on this utensil and already sets in motion the process that's going to break the utensil, the utensil is considered broken. Right? You remember the case where Zarak Kli Mirosh HaGag. And we said that the first guy who throws it off the gag is chayev, even though it hasn't broken yet, until the second guy breaks it on the bottom. That's called basar meikara azlinon. So if we go basar meikara azlinon, the animal broke this utensil with a direct contact, and therefore you pay nezek sholem. Umar sover basar tover bon azlinon, according to the first daya quoted here in this brisa, that there's no din of muad here in this case, and you only pay chatzi nezek, that's because we go basar shavar mona, shashvir samona, when the kli breaks. And at that point, of course, the tarnagolus is not jumping on the kli is flying off and it breaks. And therefore it's not gufo shel tarnagolus, but rather it's tsroros, a force, a koach that goes out from this tarnagolus. And therefore, as in classical Tsroros terms, you pay chatzi nezek. Now, of course, you could ask back in the Mishnah talks about hoya mahades u'mesharbas akelim machazek nezek mesharim chatzi nezek, and you see already over there in the Mishnah that the premise is that we judge basar shas tvar tavar mona, and that's why it's tsroros, you only pay nezek chatzi nezek and no more. But the answer is that with regard to the Mishnah, it's very straightforward that we can interpret the Mishnah as a reference to the scenario where the animal sends out pebbles that shoot out from the animal's kicking and smash up against this utensil. It's not a case where the kli itself was shooting forward and got broken. And we had a case earlier in the Mishnah of Dalil, where the tarnagolus threw the dalil onto a kli, And that's classical tzoros. In this brisa, however, the Gemara thinks that we're talking about a case where the kli itself shot out. And if that be the case, the machlokas here, whether you pay nezek sholim or chatzin nezek, depends upon the suffix of Rava, basa mikar azlin and basa tvar mon azlin. The Gemara says, lo. That's not the case of the brisa where the kli itself was shot out. And here we turn to daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Ella, but rather, what's the case? Behitiz Tzroros. Again, it's a little bit difficult to push this into the Brisa, but that's what the Gemara is suggesting now, that the animal shot off Tzroros, pebbles, towards this utensil and broke the utensil by the force of these pebbles hitting against the utensil. And Beplugta Besuchus Virabonon Komifugta. And this is a controversy that we've mentioned more than once in the past. According to Rabbanon, Chatzin Ezek Tzroros is a Halach Lamosh Misinai, whereas Sumchus denies it, and he says that Tzroros is regel and you pay Nezek Sholim. That's the root of this Machlokes in the Brice. Toshma, let's ask a from another Brice. Taragolin Shoyu Mechatitin Bechevel. Here's a case of a chicken that's pecking away at a rope, and tied to this rope is a dli, and we've discussed this case in the past. So this bucket is attached to this rope, and as a result of the animal pecking away at the rope, nifsak hachevel, the rope snaps, the nishbar dli, and now the bucket falls on the ground and smashes, mishalmim nezek sholem, and you pay a full nezek. Now, certainly this should be a case that depends upon Rav Safek. Shema Minah, if you're paying Nezek Shalim, it must mean that the premise of this price is Basar Meikar Azlinon. We look at the original state in which the Tartagolis comes in contact and, in a sense, sends out this Kli. The contact, of course, is between the Tartagolis and the Chevel, the rope itself. But by ripping the rope, it's as if the Tarnagoles had broken the Kli. In other words, the assumption of the Gemara is that the Dli, this bucket, and the rope that's holding on to it is sort of like one entity. And breaking the, or I should say, slicing the rope is the same as equivalent to throwing the Kli. And if we go basame karaz linon, it's considered a hezek of the tarnagolus begufo, as if his goof broke the dli, even though at this particular moment, this second in time, the dli, the bucket is not broken yet, but it's on its way to be broken. That's called basame karaz linon. Therefore, the owner of the tarnagol has to pay nezek sholem, because it's a hezek begufo. It's not the chatzin nezek of tzroros. So the Gemara says, no, there's no proof from this brisa. Targuma, you can interpret this brisa, achevel, when the brisa formulates the chiyuv, mishalmim nezek sholim, you pay nezek sholim, it's not referring to the hezek of the bucket, of the dli, but rather chevel itself. When the animal cuts the chevel by pecking at it, that itself is a hezek. The chevel has value. And that's a direct hezek from the animal onto the chevel. As far as the kli is concerned, you would only pay chatzin nezek. Why does the brisa say that you pay nezek sholem? It's referring to the chevel, and that's gufo. That has nothing whatsoever to do with the suffix of rava. The Gemara is not happy with this. You're telling me that this brisa is being mechadish, this great chiddush, that the Baal HaTarnagol has to pay Nezek Sholim for the Chevel, the loss, the destruction of the rope. V'achevel Mishunu. When does the Tarnagolas peck away at a Chevel? What's in it for the Tarnagolas? Tarnagolas is a kind of animal that enjoys to eat things, to suck out juice from things, but this is a dry piece of rope. Initially, the Gemara must have had a half a mean of the Yipein Ezek Sholim on the Dli, because to break a Dli is a direct result of pecking at the Chevel. And if you can justify, so to speak, based on animal behavior, normal, that it is the Chevel that broke and that creates a breakage on the Kli, if the breaking of the Chevel was normal, was natural, for example, let's say there was some liquid that was absorbed, maybe rains were absorbed in the Chevel, that would make it natural. Now that the Gemara is telling you that you pay Nezek Shalom on the Chevel, we're no longer talking, the subject is not the Dli itself, then you're going to have to say that this Chevel is a brand new rope. It's not absorbed with liquids. There's no moisture. It's absolutely dry, and apparently that's why there's no deal and there's no discussion in the Brice about whether or not the Baal Atarnagol should be paying for the Chevel. The Chevel, since it's what we call Balui, it's already used up. It's old. The Baalim don't care about it. It has no value. But in the Hava Minu, the Gemara thought that you're paying for the Dli, then it was probably a healthy or a moist Chevel that's not Bolui, it's not already all dried up like a dried prune. And the Gemara says, then why is the Tarnagol's pecking away at it? The answer must be that this is Mishuna, a very strange kind of behavior pattern. And that's what the Gemara asks now. Chevel mishunahu. So the Gemara answers, no, this is not mishuna. Why? Because demos belisha. The Bryce is talking about a case where this rope was dipped into a dough, and parts of the dough became stuck, attached, as it were, to the rope. And that's normal, and you can anticipate that the tarnagol will start pecking away in order to eat that kind of doughy substance that is attached to the chevel, and that's not mishuna, and that's why you pay nezek sholem on the chevel. That's direct gufo mazik. But the Gemara asks the obvious question. If you read the Braisa carefully, the Braisa says, quote, Tarnagolim Shoyim Mechatitim Bechevel, the Chevel Dli, and then it says, Nifsak HaChevel V'Nishbar HaDli, V'Nishbar Dli Katoni. Obviously, therefore, the Bryce is pointing out that there's payment on the Dli. And the Bryce says that indeed you pay Nezek Sholi for the Dli. It must be that we have to presume that Basar may Karaz Linon. Now, based on this question of Dli Katani, Nishbar Dli Katani, the Gemara now tries to reject this proof from the Braisa with a different approach. Totally different approach. Ella Sumchus. See, the author of this Braisa is Sumchus, the Omar who holds Tzroros Nezek Sholim Mishalim, and therefore it really has nothing to do with the Suffolk of Rava, because even if I would assume that Basa Tovermona Azlinon, then it becomes Tsroros, as we've discussed in the past. And on Tsroros, according to Sumchus, at least, you pay Nezek Sholem. Of course, you might ask, so what's the Chiddush of this Braisa? And the answer is that this is a case of Koach Kocha. I'm sorry, that had it been a case of Koach Kocha, you would have assumed that you pay Chatzi Nezek, and Sumchus, we discussed in the Gemara earlier, would perhaps admit that there is a din of Tzroros or Chatzi Nezek in the case of Koach Kocha. And the Chiddush of this Braisa is that since we view this as kocha, not kocha, therefore you pay nezek
Sholem. Had it been Kar Kolcha, you would have paid Chatzi Nesek. The Gemara asks, Isumchus, Amos Sefer, how are you going to fit out, how are you going to fit the Sefer into this pattern that the author of the Braisa is Sumchus? It says in the Sefer, Nitas Mimenu Shever, if a piece of this bucket, a broken piece, shoots out, the Nafal, and ends up hitting Kli Acher Vishvara, and it breaks a second Kli, is Al Arishon Mishali Nezik Sholem. For the first Kli, you pay a full Nezek, and that's like Gufa Shel Behema. On the last Kli, the second Kli, which was smashed by the broken piece of the first Kli, is Mishalim Chatzi Nezek. Means it becomes Tsroro. Svi Sumchus Mi Isla Chatzi Nezek. Why would Sumchus accept that you pay nothing more than half compensation for the half of the damage? If it's Tsoros, Sumchus is committed to Nezek Sholem. The Chitema, perhaps you can answer, Shani Le Sumchus Be Nezek Kocho Lekar Kocho. Perhaps this case where the animal comes in contact with Kli A now hits off Kli B, that's already considered Koach Kocha, a second Koach, and in such a case, Sumchus would hold that, you know, the Chachom would be right in this case. You'd only pay Chatzi Nezek, and here's a Hodas Baldin on the part of Sumchus. So again, on the Kli that was broken directly from the power of the animal, then you pay Nezek Sholem. On the second Kli that was broken by the force coming out of the first Kli, then you pay Chatzi Nezek. That's already Koach Kocha. That's classical Torah, such that extreme Torah, we'll call it, such that even Sumchus would agree that you only pay Nezek Sholem. Like the Gemara Makkos has the case where you throw a clump of soil up to the top of this palm tree and dates fall down and kill somebody. The Gemara says that's already Koach Kocha. And the sugya there deals with the fact that he should not have to go into Golus as a Rotzeach. It's already a double, you know, it's two steps removed. So the Gemara says that would be a very exciting idea and a possibility for this Braisa, except for one problem. And that's Rav Ashi, Elahod, the boy Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi later on, on Daf Yutes, vacillated back and forth. Koach Kocha l'sumchus, kekocho domi olav, kekocho domi. Does Sumchus agree that Koach Kocha is Chatzi Nezek Tzroros like the Chachomim because it's lav, kekocho domi? Or does Sumchus maintain that there's no difference between Kocho and Koach Kocha? Is Tifshot Lei Dolav Kikocho Domi? If you're telling me that this Braisa, which is authored by Sumchus, maintains that Koach Kocho is only Chatzi Nezek, then here's your answer, Rav Ashi. The very fact that Rav Ashi did not quote this Braisa as a raya, that itself indicates that he understood that this Braisa was not talking about a case of Koach Kocho. Alternatively, and I think this is a more healthy and solid approach, Rav Ashi understood apparently that this Braisa reflects the Shita of Chachamim. And the question is whether or not you pay even Chatzi Nezek on Koach Kocho. But the Gemara assumes that as far as Rav Ashi's original Suffolk is concerned, that Suffolk was formulated within the context of Sumchus. Sumchus, who maintains that you pay Nezek Sholem Fitzroros, what would he hold in the case of Koach Kocho? And the fact that Rav Ashi did not quote and invoke this price as a proof to establish a Koach Kocho lav kekocho domi, it must mean that he, Rav Ashi, interpreted this price to be authored by the Rabbanan of Sumchus. That's why he didn't quote it in the context of a Hachra to determine his Sofek. His Sofek was within Sumchus. In any event, based on this kasha, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's impossible to assume, according to Rav Ashi at least, that the author of this Braisa is Sumchus Elolav Rabbonani. So now we go back to our original premise that the author of the Braisa, the authorship of the Braisa should be attributed to Rabbanon. Yishma Mina, we can derive from the fact that on the Deli itself you pay Nezik Shalem, it must be Shma Mina Basar Meikar Azlita. We view the Hezek on the Deli as a direct Hezek from the Gufo Shel HaTarnagel, and it's not Tzroros, and that's why you Chayiv Nezik Shalem. And we now have a final conclusion to determine the suffix of Rava Omer Rav Bidi Bar Abaye. No, there's no proof. Ka'azil mine. Perhaps the Bryce is not talking about a case where the Tarnagol was pecking away at this rope until the bucket fell and broke, but rather after pecking away at the rope and cutting it, the animal, the Tarnagolas, actually kicked the bucket pushed it with its body, and mine means pushing it forward and forward, step by step, so to speak, until the utensil smashed. And therefore, even if you would assume basa tavar monas linon, which would normally engender the halacha of tsroros, here we're talking about gufo mamish, because the animal pushed the kli with its body. Now, if I understand correctly, the final maskon of this gemara is that we don't have any sort of answer or final answer, shall we say, to Rava's suffek. Do we go basar meikara basar tavar mana? And this is going to engender an entire literature in the Rishonim. How do we paskin in this case, since the Gemara comes to no conclusion whatsoever? There's, by the way, a point in the Achronim. Why it doesn't say Ella Omar Rav Bibi Bar Abaye? Usually, when the Gemara rejects the original interpretation, the word Ella is there. But it could be possible that the word Ella is only appropriate when the Gemara completely rejects that which came before. And here, even though you could possibly work this all out, that's called Zil Hacha Kamadchile and Zil Hacha Kamadchile. In other words, you can't really determine it because it all depends on the suffix Rav Ashi, and that in turn depends upon another suffix as to who authored the Brises, it's Sukhus Rabbanon, and therefore there's no absolute conclusion on that. But in terms of our original question, how do we paskin if the Gemara doesn't come to any definite conclusion? So you have here a number of Rishonim who address this question. The Rif, for example, paskins that in the case of a tarnagol that pecks away at the rope and breaks the bucket after the rope splits and the bucket smashes, that you pay nezek sholem. And the Rif qualifies that by saying that it only applies if the tarnagol pushed the dli, this bucket, with its body, which means that the Rif codifies the final answer of Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaye. It would seem therefore that if it had not been dochafo begufam like Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaye zukimto, then the payment would only be chatzi nezek, and that really means basar tavar monas lina, but not basar meikaras lina. The Baal Mor is not happy with this, because later on the Rif himself paskins like Rava in the case that we discussed earlier, where you have one person throwing a utensil from the top of the roof, that's Reuven, and then Shimon runs ahead and he smashes the utensil on its way down before it hits the ground. And in such a case, the Rif paskins like Rava that the second, that means Shimon, the second person who actually hit and broke the utensils potur, which sounds like he's saying basar may karaz lina, whereas the riff in our sugya of nifsak achevel is paskening that basar. So again, by paskening like Rabba, the riff is committed to say basar may karaz lina, but here in the case of nifsak achevel and dochfa begufa, like Rabbi Abai is paskening that basar tovar monaz linon. And that's the stira, the contradiction l'chora in the riff, which is raised here by the Baal HaMor. The Ravid has a long discussion here to try to reconcile these two rulings of the riff, and he wants to assume that even Rabbi Bar Abaye would agree to the opinion of Rabba that we go basar may karaz linon. That Rav Bibi would agree we go basam e karaz linon, and therefore in the case of a tarnagel that pecks away at a rope that was surrounded, or meluchlach is the word that they use here, be'isa with a dough, until the tarnagel successfully or consciously rips the chevel and the dli breaks, the balam achayv nezek sholem b'toras nizke gufo. What Rabbi Bibi meant when he said Ka'azel Minei Minei is that you could interpret the Braisa even in a scenario where the Chevel was not Meluchlach B'Isa, and the Bailam don't pay for the Chevel anything more than Chatzi Nezek, it's Meshuna. As we said before, there's no justification, no explanation why the animal should have been pecking, but nevertheless on the Dli, and it's a paradox, you pay Nezek Sholem in the case of Dachafo Begufo. In other words, as far as the breaking of the Dali is concerned, that's not considered a Shinui. That's already called Darko or Urche Bekach, and therefore you pay Nezek Sholem. But that doesn't necessarily undermine the premise of Rabba that Basar Meikara Azlina. Boy, Rabba, let's go back to the sugya. Rava has another suffix. We know that Chatzi Nezek Tzroros is a tolda of Regel. And the question is, how far do we go with this equation between Tzroros and Regel? Boy Rava, Chatzi Nezek Tzroros Migufo Meshalim O Me'aliyah Meshalim. Does Chatzi Nezek Tzroros have the same limitation as the Av, namely Regel itself? I'm sorry, let's say the other way around. Does Chatzi Nezek Tzroros, like its Av, have a freedom, so to speak, of the limitation of Migufa? The limitation of Migufa doesn't apply to Regel. Regel pays min aliyah. That means even if the animal that did this damage is worth, let's say, 10, and the damage goes way beyond 10, let's say the damage is 50, the Baal HaMazik has to dig into his pocket and pay whatever it is, Chatzi Nezek, that goes min aliyah above and beyond the value of the animal that did the Hezek, above the Shavius of the animal, and that's Regel. What do we say? No. This is a Chatzi Nezek case. And if you're talking about Chatzi Nezek, well, the Torah recognizes Chatzi Nezek only in one scenario, and that's Shar Tam. And here in the case of Tzroros, despite the similarity to Regel, nevertheless it has something very profoundly in common with Keren Tam, namely that you pay nothing more than Chatzi Nezek. Then once you pay Chatzi Nezek, take the whole kit and caboodle, the whole unit together. Chatzi Nezek only pays, in the case of Shor Tam, Migufo. You could never force the Baal HaMazik, the owner of the animal, to pay in Chatzi Nezek of Shor Tam, to pay a price that exceeds the value of the Shor HaMazik. And the Gemara now analyzes the suffix of Rava. Migufo Mishalim Dilo Ashkan Chatzin Nezek Mishalim Aliyah. Once the halacha of Moshe Bissina is established that the payment for Chatzin Nezek Torus is Chatzin Nezek, then Chatzin Nezek is always min Migufo, not min Aliyah. Odilma Me Aliyah Mishalim Dilo Ashkan Ki Urche De Mishalim Migufo. Essentially, Tzroros is Regel. Regel is Urche. And in Regel itself, the payment is min Aliyah. And forget about the fact that it's Chatzin Nezek, that's the halacha of Moshe Sinai, that reduces and, how should we say, is lenient on the Mazik to reduce the payment to half the damage. But nevertheless, it still remains Regel, and the payment is governed by the regulations that apply to Regel. And therefore, in the case of Regel, Chatzin Nezek Torus is Regel, the payment is min Aliyah. That's the second tzad in Rav. Now, Rabosai, there's something very odd about this suffix of Rav Lechor, because Chatzin Nezek Tzroros is Potur v'shus a Rabin, whereas Keren, even in the case of Tom, pays whatever it pays, that's Chatzin Nezek v'shus a Rabin. Now, if Keren, which is Chayav in Rishus Rab, nevertheless, it only pays Migufo, then Lechora Tzroros, which is less harsh of a payment, right, because it's part of Rishus Rab, certainly should be limited to Migufo. So if you take a look in Shita Mekubetzes here in Bava Kamma, he says that the suffix of Rava is within the context of the definition of this halacha Moshe Misina of Tzroros. Does this halacha Moshe Misina come to reduce the payment of Regel from Nezek Shalom to Chatzin Nezek? Or is it some sort of din in the Tashlum, in the payment itself? Let's go over this again. The teretz of the Shita Mekubetzes is that you can see the halacha Moshe Misina of Chatzin Nezek Tzroros in two ways. You could say it's a kula, and if it's a kula, let's take the whole kit and caboodle. Just like you're being makil in the amount of payment, that means Chatzin Nezek, you're also being makil in the tzuras atashlum, which means you only pay me gufa. The other tzad in Rava is to say that there are two dinim here. There's one din in how much you have to pay, there's another din in the tzuras hatashlum, the tzuras hatashlum, the way you have to pay it once you've arrived at a certain sum, is the way you would pay for nizkei regel in general. So again, even though you're going with this kal v'chomer of Keren and say, well, Keren only pays me gufo, and it's more chomer than Tzroros, that's only because you're ignoring the fact that Chatzin Nezek Tzroros is essentially regel. If you start with that premise that Chatzin Nezek Tzroros is regel, it has all the qualities of regel, the only difference is the Torah is mekil. Okay, the Torah is mekil in terms of how much you have to pay, the exact sum, but exactly how you pay that sum, whether it comes from the goof of the mazik or it comes from the pocket of the bala mazik, that's already a different issue. That's already a different din, a different dimension. The din of tashlum would have to be subsumed and regulated by the laws of Regel, because we don't have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai with regard to the Tzuras HaTashlum to establish that it's limited to Migufo. The Gemara now says, Toshma, we can answer this question with a brice of Hidus. And again, as we said before, Hidus means the animal is jumping, it's hopping up and down, up on top of a utensil. And it breaks the utensil. Is Eino Muad, V'yeshomim Harezem Muad. We've already seen this price according to opinions. So the Gemara says, Hidu Salka Daitach. We've already asked this question in the past. Could it be that there's no din of Muad according to the Tanakhama of this price? How is that possible? I mean, we know that an animal, that's what a Tanagol does, it hops and it jumps. and dances on Caleb. If you've ever seen a chicken, you know what I'm talking about. If that be the case, there's no shinui here, and it's nisake regel mamish of urche. How can you tell me it's eino muad? So we have to reinterpret this price in order to justify the Tanakamu says eino muad. Elolav, it must be a case of hidus vehitus. The animal, this tarnagel, is now dancing on top of what? Okay, so it says hidus vehitus. No, it's not like we thought it was hidus on top of the utensil, but rather it's hidus on the ground itself, and it kicks up pebbles, and the pebbles shoot off against a utensil and breaks them. And here's the issue. Demandi Omar Eino Muad. The Tanakamu says this is not Muad Kasovar. He's of the opinion that when it comes to Nizke Tsroros Migufo Meshalim, and that's what he means by Eino Muad, that the din here is exactly equivalent to a Sharta, not only in terms of the amount, but also in the Tsuras Atashlim, which means you pay not above and beyond the value of the tarnagel of the mazik. So in other words, the equation here to chatzi nezek goes as far as including the limitation of migufo umad yom muad kasar me'aliyah v'shalim. You know what? Enochinami, it has the din of chatzi nezek that's equivalent to a shor tam, and therefore you pay chatzi nezek. But essentially, as we said before, it is a told of regel, it's a subcategory of regel, and therefore, as far as the tzuras hatashlim is concerned, the laws that regulate regel regulate tzroros, and therefore you pay min ha'aliyah. So it comes out that the Gemara is suggesting now that the suffix of Rava is indeed the root of this machlokus and the price of Hidus Eino Muad or Yesh Omerim Hareze Muad. The Gemara says, lo, we can reject this. That's not what the machlokus is all about in this price, but rather be plugged to the Sumchus Rabbanan Kamiflagi. In other words, everybody agrees that the subject of Hidus here is Tsroros. But the question is, how do you pay in the case of Tsroros? Do you pay it as a Muad or as an Eino Muad? And that's going to be the subject of this Machlokas in the Braisa. The Tana Basra would say Hareze Muad, which means, as Sukkos would say, you pay, since it's a normal anticipated Hezek, you pay Nezek Shole, like a Muad. And that's Tsroros according to Sumchus, Tsroros according to Sumchus Nezek Shalom. I, the Tanakhama, says Hidus Eino Muad. That's the Shita of the Chachamim, that you pay Chatzi Nezek in the case of Tsroros like Shor Tam. And that's what the Braisa means when it says Eino Muad. Eino Muad means Tam. Just like a Tam in the case of Karen pays Chatzi Nezek, so too in the case of Tsroros, it has the same status as Tam, and you pay Chatzi Nezek. Comes out that this price has nothing to do with the suffix of Rava regarding Gufo or Min Aliyah, but rather it reflects the Machlokas between the Shita of the Tanakhama in a Muad and the Shita of Sumchus Muad, and you pay Nezek Shalom. Toshma, maybe we could come to some conclusion about Rava's suffix from a different price. Actually, in this case, not a braisa, I stand corrected, it's from the Mishnah later on, El Chof Aleph Amid Beis. HaKelev Shenotal Charora. Charora is some sort of a cookie that is roasted on an open fire, like on coals. And the Kelev takes the Uga, takes this round cookie together with some of the coals. Again, I don't know how the kelev is able to pull this off, but v'holach l'gadish, it goes over to this haystack and drops the coal, the hot burning coal, on the haystack. Ochal hacharora v'hidlik es hagodish, it devours the cookie and lights up the haystack. Is ala hacharora, says the Braisa, mishalem nezek shalem. This is a classical case of shame. V'ala godish mishalem chatzi nezek. Later on, the Gemara is going to have a machlok shirin of Yochanan Reish Lakish. In the case of a person who lights a fire in one place and the fire spreads and damages in another place, whether he's chayv midun chitzov or he's chayv mishum momono. If you hold the isha mishum chitzov, then he has to pay as if he had directly lit up whatever got burnt. And even further than that, if a person's animal lights up something with a fire, that's considered tsroros. Why? Because it's the chitzov of the kelev. Which means the following, that when it says here in the Braisa, ala godish, you pay chatzi nezek, it means on the entire godish, on a place where the exact location where the animal, the dog, puts down the gocheles and it's mazik begufo, on that you pay nezek sholem. That's because isho mishum chitzav. But on the balance, you know, when the fire spreads, then you pay chatzi nezek. That's already considered tsroros. So the Gemara says the following. V'tani Allah, with regard to this tosefta that we're about to see interpreting the Mishnah, Mishalem chatzi nezek migufa. The owner of the dog will pay chatzi nezek, meaning it has the din of tsroros, and it pays only migufo shel kelev, meaning the maximum that the owner of the kelev pays is the value of the animal, the mazik, the kelev. It means a short time, just like in a short time you pay chatzi nezek migufo, so too in this case we pay chatzi nezek migufo. And that would prove and establish conclusively regarding Rava's safek that when you pay chatzi nezek tsroros, you don't pay min aliyah, you only pay migufo. The Gemara says v'tizbara. The logic that you're presenting here and understanding the Braisa doesn't seem to make any sense, because you're telling me that he pays nezek sholem because of the din of tsroros of regel. What about what we find in the words of Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar is going to argue with the Tanakhama, and he's of the opinion that on the burning of this haystack, the Bala Kelv has to pay nezek sholem. Now, this is a little bit odd, because even according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't pay min aliyah, you only pay migufo shel kelev. Now, if the chiyuv is mishum tsroros of regel, then nezek sholem migufe mi ashkechinon. Where do we find a case of paying nezek sholem? So we're not dealing with tsroros, and yet you only pay migufo. Something is fluky here in the Braisa. Again, you're talking about a Braisa that the way you're interpreting it, his chiv is mishum tsroros shel regel, and yet the Braisa insists that he only pays migufo. Correct? Mishal chatzi nezek migufo. Did we ever find a case where a person pays nezek sholem migufo? In other words, even according to Simchus, who holds that chatzi nezek tsroros pays nezek sholem, but nevertheless the payment is not migufo of behema, it's min aliyah, it's mibeis bailim, as we say. So let's assume that Rabbi Eliezer might hold like Sumchus, and you pay in the case of Tsoros nezek sholem, and we equate Tsoros with gufo in terms of a direct hezek, and you pay nezek sholem, then Why does it say in this price that you pay, that you pay me gufe? We never found nezek shall pay me gufe. Even the suffix of Rav was only in chatzi nezek that you should pay me gufe, because it's like keren tam. Ella, so we're going to have to assume, therefore, that the chiyuv to pay here is not mishum tzroros at all. We're not talking about tzroros of rega, we're talking about tzroros of keren. What does that mean, tzroros of keren? Kigon, the shani behagacheles. This is a really crazy aberration that the animal, this kelev in this case, is mazik with the gacheles, by taking the hot coals. And let's assume the dog bites into the coal and carries the coal and brings this hot coal and lays it down on a haystack. I mean, that's shani, that's a shinui. And therefore the Tanakama holds you pay chatzi nezek, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that for some reason you pay nezek sholem, and this might have to do with where exactly the hezek take place, and that's what the Gemara says now. Rabbi Lazar sovelok Rabbi Tar from the Omer Mishuna Keren v'chatzara nizok nezek sholem mishalem. That even Keren Tama, which pays chatzi nezek, that's only in Rishus Rabim, but not in the chatzara nizok. And here in this very strange shinui, this aberration where the animal carries the gachelis and burns down someone's haystack, that was in the chatzar nizak. Going to Rabbi Tarfon, you pay nezek sholem, and once you pay nezek sholem, she says, based on the Gemara later on, you pay this nezek sholem migufo shel shor, according to Rabbi Tarfon. And it comes out that both will agree that Sumchus on a case of Nezek Tzroros pays Nezek Sholim in Aliyah. That's not an issue. But here it's a case of Shinui, and that's why in a case of Shinui you pay me Gufo. And again, this is all based on a Sugya that we haven't got up to yet, the Sugya on Daf Yud Chesam Beis and Yutes Amud Aleph. In any event, just to summarize, it comes out that according to the Gemara's interpretation of this price, there's machlokas tanoim about tzroros of keren tama, meaning of a shinui case. We're not dealing with tzroros of regel. This has nothing to do with Rav's suffik. Rav's suffik was chatzi nezek tzroros of regelism in aliyo migufo. How do we define it, as we discussed earlier? Here we're talking about a case of the din of tzroros of keren tama, and there you would pay Nezek Sholem according to Rabbi Tarfon Bechotzar Nizak, but you only pay Migufo because of this Shinui. Velohi, the Gemara rejects it. You don't have to interpret the Machlok Shinui, the Tanakam, and Rav Loza in this particular way. You can explain it as referring to the din of Tzroros of Regel. The Maitaima Mukmas Lake Rabbi Tarfon. What compelled you to interpret this brisa as a case of Keren and invoke the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Lazar accepts Rabbi Tarfon in the case of Mishuna Bechotza and Nizak, Mishum Nezek Sholem? This is what compelled you. You had a question here. Why should you pay Nezek Sholem according to Rabbi Lazar in this case? Isn't it tzoros? So how can you pay nezek shalom migufo in the case of tzoros, which we subsume under regel? There's no reason in the world and no precedent in halacha for paying migufo. It's always min aliyah. So the answer is that question, if it bothers you so much, I have an answer for that question. Reb Loza Sovik Sumchus, Yitzoros Nezik Sholim Mishan, Vesovik Reb Yehuda, the Omar Tzad Tamus Bimkoma Omedes. And now we're going to discuss a Sugya on Daf Mem Heim and Beis of Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there are two parts to the Tashlum, to the payment of Nizkei Keren of Shor HaMuad. One is the chatzi nezek of shartam, and the other half is the increment to a sharmuad. Meaning, a sharmuad is really a double personality. It remains with the original chatzi nezek according to Rabbi Yehuda of a shar tam, which means you only pay migufo, and with regard to the increment through the process of hadah, the extra half that brings you to a whole, that's already min aliyah. That's already the mazik pays from out of pocket. Now let's see if we can understand how, according to Rabbi Lazar, and what the implications are of integrating Sumchus and Rabbi Yehuda. When the Baal HaMazik pays Nezek Sholim for Nizkei Tzroros of Regal according to Sumchus, Rabbi Lazar accepts Sumchus, it means it has the same din as a Shar HaMuad. And now it has to pay Chatzi Nezek Migufo, Chatzi Nezek Min Aliyah, like Rabbi Yehuda. So v'chik tani migufo, and that which the Brisa says that you pay nezek sholim migufo, that's atzad tamus. That's only referring to the half, the first. We'll call it the first half of nezek, because Rabbi Loza means to tell you that on that first half of nezek, like Rabbi Yehuda, you pay only migufo as a shar tam. But eino chinami as far as the second half, as we called it, the Baal HaMazik has to pay Nezek Sholem Min Aliyah, which means out of pocket. So the Gemara is not happy with that. Omale Rav Sama Breid Rav Ashi Ravina Emer Deshamet Leil Rabbi Yehuda. When did Rabbi Yehuda insist that Sadtamus from Kovo Medes, it's only B'tam V'nasimud, if you have a Mazik which started in stage one as a Tam and then it developed, it evolved into a Shar HaMuad as a result of three repetitive crimes, that's when Rabbi Yehuda says that the original din of Shar Tam, once it was Chal, as far as half the Tashlum is concerned, it remains forever engraved in stone. But Lu Yitzur, if you had a case of Muad Mitchilasa, where it started as a Muad, as for example in this case of Tzroros of Regel, which is Urche, which is Nezek Sholim from the get-go, Mishamatle, we never heard, and now we're turning to Yud Chesem Beis, we never heard that Rabbi Yehuda would insist that even on the first Hezek of Tzroros, you would pay Chatzi Nezek Migufo as if it was a Shar Tam, a Tzad Tamus from Kol Medes. The whole logic that compels Tzad Tamus b'mkol medes going to review is the fact that first, at stage one, it was a tam, and then only it developed later on as a muot. So that Tzad Tamus remains in its place. The Mefarshim want to know exactly what the Havamina was in the Gemara. How did the Gemara even entertain a Svara that Tzroros, according to Sumchus, would be linked up or could be linked up with Tzad Tamus b'mkol medes Rabbi Yehuda? The din of Tzad Tamus b'mkol medes Rabbi Yehuda is clearly predicated on the fact that it was a tam, that it became a muad. So the Havamina of this Gemara really engages the mind of the Lechem Abirim and other Mefarshim, and they only come up with answers that are pretty dachuk. I'll read to you what the Lechem Abirim wants to push in over here, that according to Rabbi Lazar, that you pay migufo because it's satamus bimkomo medes, the Gemara thinks that what Rabbi Lazar has in mind is kavanos olomer shenechleku b'machlokas sumchus v'chachamim valkein. That's the premise of the question of the Gemara, that according to Sumchus, there is no Tzad Tamus over here. And that was the Havamina of the Gemara. And this means that Sumchus, who says he paid Nezek Sholem on Sroros, what he means is that it has a din of a shartam that became a mu'ot. Very strange. In any event, the Gemara says, based on this question, that we have to reinterpret the Gemara, the machlokas here of that's presented here in the Braisa, machlokas atanoim. And if you're going to insist that the machlokas tanoim here is regarding the din of tsroros, classical tsroros of regel, and then prove from that that tsroros of regel pays migufo, says the Gemara, if that be the case, elikikamar Rabbi Lezer nezek sholem kagon de iayid. In other words, we shouldn't assume that we're talking about a case of a kelev and a tsroros on the first round, but rather on the third, after the third round, and that's iayid in the Gemara's language. It became a muad ubahakam miflagi, but rather machlokes in the chacham Rabbi Lezer revolves around a different issue. Mar sover yesh hadol tsroros, umar sover ein hadol tsroros. Now, is there a din of muad in the case of Nizke Tsroros to pay Nezek Sholem? In other words, Nizke Tsroros pays Chatzi Nezek, like a Sharta. Should we assume, therefore, that if it repeats its performance of Tsroros three occasions consecutively, now it becomes a Mu'ud and you pay Nezek Sholem? And the Halacha Moshe Misinai of Nizke Tsroros Chatzi Nezek is only up to but not beyond the third occasion. Where the Chachamim are of the opinion that Nizkei Tsroros always remain, through this halacha b'shem, always remain Chatzi Nezek. And that's the din of Told of Shein. There's no such thing in the Told of Shein of a din Hadah. I should say a Told of Regel. Sorry, if I said Shein, I meant Regel. And in Regel, it's always Mu'ud Mitchiloso. The halacha b'shem established that you only pay Chatzines. There's no difference between the first time and the 50th time. It's always going to be this halacha l'moshe misinai that you pay chatzin nezek in the case of tsroros as a tolda of regel, and there's no din of hadol with tsroros. The chachamim hold that chatzin nezek tsroros collects a payment miguf habehema, and if this be the case, we have a clear-cut answer to the suffix of Rava that a tashlum of Nizkei Tsroros is limited to the guf habehema. And the Gemara says, well, if that be the case, then let's talk about a different suffix of Rava based on this understanding, this interpretation. Machlokes tanam elaha deboy Rava. Rava had a suffix yesh adol tsoros o ein adol tsoros. Is either Abonon ein adol tsoros, either Rabbi Lozar yesh adol tsoros? Why did Rava vacillate back and forth? It's clear cut. I mean, if you're going according to Rabbanon, then ein adol tsoros. That's what we learned in this price. If you can accept Rabbi Lozar's yesh adol tsoros, Amlecha Rava. Rava will defend himself. Ki mi boili lididi, my suffake was Aliba de Rabbanon, de Pligiale de Sumchus. According to the Chachamim, who postulate that in Chatzi Nezek, in Tsroros you only pay Chatzi Nezek, and it has therefore the similarity to the din of Shartam, here's where Rava says, I vacillate back and forth. Is it possible that through the third Adot it jacks itself up to a Mu'ad and you pay Nezek Sholem? That has nothing to do with this brisa. Aval hocha, this brisa, which presents a machlokas tanoim, is all within the shita of Sukhus, that Tsroros pays Nezek Sholem. So the case of the kelev that took the charora, the cookie, together with the gecholim, and went to the gadish, that's not the chachamim shita, but rather bein l'rabban and bein l'rablaz Sukhus, kisumchus sphir lehu. They, the brisa, whether it's the chachamim in the brisa, whether it's the Shita Rebbe Lozen the Brice, they accept Sumchus. So this Brice, whether it's Rabbanon or Rebbe Lozer, reflects the Shita of Sumchus,
Kisumchu Sfilet Yomar Nezek Tsvoros Nezek Sholem Vishal. In the time of my Omer Rabbanan Chatzi Nezek, why the Rabbanan say in the case of the Kelev Shenotal Charora that you pay Nezek Chatzi Nezek and no more? The Shani Velo Iyayit. Rava suggests that in such a case, it's a Shinui. We don't expect and we don't anticipate on the normal conditions that the Kelev take the Charora and put it onto the Gadish. And there is a possibility, therefore, that since this is a case of Tsroros, therefore, unless it repeats itself Shalosh Pa'amim, it should only pay Chatzi Nezek Kedin Sharta because of the Shinui. So it's not like your classical Tsroros case. And then we're going to introduce, therefore, Kibbeplugta de Rabbi Tafra Bonika Miflagi, what they're in effect arguing about here in this Shartam situation. Again, when I say Shartam, what I mean to say is a Lav Urchi situation of Shinui. Is Bepluta de Rabbi Tafra Bonika Miflagi, the Machlokshin Rabbi Tafra and Chachomim, as far as Rishus HaNizak is concerned. Which means that Shartam is Chayev Chatzi Nezek in Rishus HaRabim. What's the deal in Rishus HaNizak? Rabbi Tarfon, and here in Abraisa, Rabbi Lozor, who accepts Rabbi Tarfon, is of the opinion to pay Nezek Sholem. Mishuna Bechotza Nizak Nezek Sholem Mishalim. The Chachom on the other hand hold that the status of a Shartam, whether it's Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaNizak, is only Chatzi Nezek. So therefore it comes out that it's very possible that the Tanoim and this Bryce are not arguing about the din of Tsvoros as a subcategory of Regel, but rather, and therefore the question is whether there is Hadar, there's not Hadar, that issue of Rova is not relevant to this Bryce. So we're talking about Nizke Keren, because we're talking about a Shinui, and therefore Rova's question about whether Tsvoros is subject to Hadar, again, Tsvoros classical as a subcategory of Regel, is not at all addressed by this Brisa, and therefore you cannot be poshet the Sufik of Rova about Nizke Tsvoros, whether there's Hadar or not, to jack it up to Nezek Sholem, or the Sufik of Rova that we had earlier about Nizke Tsvoros, whether you pay Miguf Habehema like Chatzi Nezek of Tam, or do you pay Min Aliyah like Regel? None of that has anything to do with this Brisa. Because, again, this Brisa is really debating about Shinui, about Shar Tam, or Keren Tam, let's call it, Bechotzer HaNizak, and we're talking about a case of Lo Iyayit, but since it's a Shinui, according to the Rabbanon, you pay maximum Chatzi Nezek if it's Lo Iyayit, and that's even Bechotza Nizak. Whereas Rabbi Lozor accepts the Shita Rabbi Tarfon, as we said earlier, that a Shartam versus a Nizak pays Nezek Sholem, but it really has no bearing whatsoever on the Shita of, or the Suffolk, or any of the Sfeikas of Rava. But it comes out that according to this explanation of the Braisa, even according to Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of Shar Tam, in Rishus HaNizak, that you pay Nezek Sholem, nevertheless you only pay Migufa. So it's very interesting that we now have a kind of a Tzvei Dinim, two dimensions in Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says Shar Tam, that gores and damages in Rishus HaNizak pays Nezek Sholem as if it was a Sharmur, but nevertheless it still retains its status as a Shar Tam. Again, the fact that it's Bechotz HaNizak doesn't mean it became a Sharmur. It is a Shar Tam. And that's why the din of Tzuris Tashlumin is only Migufo. And the Gemara is not happy about that. The Gemara says, Emor Deshamit Lei. When do we find that Rabbi Tarfon holds that the Baal HaShor pays Nezek Sholim in Rishus HaNizak, but we never found Migufo Mishamitli, that it still maintains a status of a short time as far as Migufo is concerned. Is there any source for this? And the Gemara says, in. The Gemara says that it's got to be so. And this is a compelling logic that according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's got to be limited to, even in a Shartami, the Shusan Nizak has to be limited to Migufo in. Why? Because Me'echa Maisele, what was the logical derivation of Rabbi Tarfon to conclude that a Shartam in Shusan Nizak pays Nezik Shon was a Kalvachomer? And what was the basis for this Kalvachomer? It was Keren Birshus HaRabim. If Keren Birshus HaRabim pays Chatzi Nezek, then in the Rishus HaNizak we should be more Machmir. Meaning, what is your animal doing? What justification do you have for your animal going into someone else's property? And in such a case, there's no Ptur Rishus HaRabim of Chatzi Nezek. If you're deriving from a Kavachomer here, and your basis is Karen, which pays in Rishu Sarab Chatzinezik, then Karen, which pays Rishu Sarab Chatzinezik, only pays Migufo. And this is a very strange Gemara. The Gemara is operating with the assumption that Rabbi Tarfon accepts the principle of Dial. I don't know. It seems like the whole Kavachomer here completely vitiates and contradicts the principle of Dio. Maybe that's the Gemara's Kashi. I don't know. I'd like to fit it into the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Var Rabbi Tarfon, lesle Dio." The principle of Rabbi Tarfon is once you have a Kavachomer, you're not limited to say that the Dovra Nilmad cannot be more Chomer than Dovra Malamed, because Keren Bishus Harab, which is the basis for his Kavachomer, only pays Chatzin Nezik, and yet, according to Rabbi Tarfon, Keren Bishus HaNizak pays Nezik Sholem. So the Nilmad is more Chomer than Malamed. And I think that's what we were asking. So our answer is Ki Lesley Dayo Hainu Demifra Kavachomer. Wow, now we get into real complicated regulations. Rabbi Tarfon's opinion is that there is Dayo, but yet there's no Dayo. What does that mean? If Dayo will undermine the entire Kalvachomer, it takes the foundation, it pulls the rug out of under the Kalvachomer, in such a case, Rabbi Tarfon is not willing to apply the principle of Dayo. There's a conflict between the Kalvachomer and Dayo. The life of the Kalvachomer is on the line. Forget about Dayo. The logic of the Kalvachomer is that although the Torah was lenient on the Shartam and Rishus HaRabim, the Torah didn't allow that leniency, that Chatzin Ezek Tashlumin, in Rishus HaNizak, as we said. Now you can apply Dayo? No. You can't apply Dayo to undermine the Kalvachomer in Gans. But Heichadol Mifra Kalvachomer is like Dayo, but once you already have the Kalvachomer up and running, now you are limited by the Malamed. And therefore, the Kavachomer works to establish a Chiyuv Nezek Sholem in Rishus HaNizak in the case of Keren, but nevertheless, if that is derived from Keren itself, meaning Keren Tama, then you're limited to Tashlume Gufo, and you can't go beyond Tashlume Gufo and say that you pay Min Aliyah. Now the Gemara goes back to the original Suffolk of Rava. Gufo, we saw in Rava, Boy Rava, Yesh Hadol Tzoros, O Ein Hadol Tzoros. In the case of Tzoros, where you pay Chatzin Nezek, what happens if the animal does this trick, this Tzoros trick, on three occasions? He tees up Ein Tzoros three times. Sholosh Piyamim. Is there Hadol to pay Nezek Sholim or not? And now the Gemara analyzes that suffix. LeKeren midamino le. Shall we equate the din of tzoros to keren, which lends itself to hador? Dilma told of the regal. So we finally got, you know, we've been waiting for this for a long time, my friends. What is chatzin nezek of tzoros? We've been assuming since it's Urche, the Torah was Mekil, but nevertheless it's essentially regal. Now the Gemara is, you know, throwing that out. Maybe it's possible that Chatzin Nezek is always Keren. And although the Gemara used the word midaminan lei, obviously the Gemara is sensitive to the fact that it's not totally keren. I mean, keren is lav urche, where source is urche, but nevertheless it has the dimensions of keren. Obviously it's chatzi nezek like keren, and therefore just like keren is lends itself, is subject to the process of hadah to jack it up from chatzi nezek, nezek sholem, tzroros likewise should do so. What do we say? No, let's take kin kaboodle, it's a told of regal, it's urche, there's no shinui element, the animal is walking kedarko, and once we equate it to the dinim of regal, there's no process of hadah over here. And you see clearly that this halach of hadah is like a gzeres hakosiv, it's a chalois. It's not something that you logically say, well, let's punish the bialim more severely because the animal has a track record and it repeats itself time after time after time. No, there's a process of hadah, and in regular there is no such process of hadah. I mean, again, logically, human rational logic would say, why can't there be hadah in regel? I mean, why not? You know, we certainly should increase the negligence level, or the guilt level, the responsibility level of the Baal HaRegel when the animal does this thing over and over and over again. And moreover, the Halach of Moshe Mishinai that reduced Nezek Sholem in Regel to Chatzi Nezek in the case of Tzoros obviously touched on the fact that it's a little bit less than your normal classical hezek. It's not a direct hezek begufa shalvem, it's rather kocha. So let's be machmir and clamp down on the Baal HaRegel in the case of Hador. In any event, the Gemara says Toshma from a brice of Hidus. This is a brice that we've seen time after time. We're talking about the animal hopping onto the kli. So the Tanakhama says Eino Muad, and you don't pay Nezek Sholem. The H Omrim, the Tanabasra says Areza Muad, you pay Nezek Sholem. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, is it possible to say that there's no Muad over here? Hidus is Hidus al Kedaita, there's no Muad. After all, Hidus is certainly something that is anticipated, that is regular, it's behavior pattern that's anticipated, it's not a shinu. And if it's not a shinu, what's the habmin you have to say in a muad? Ella, you're going to have to say hidus v'hitis. We're talking about a case where, as we've seen in the past, the tarnagol now jumps and jumps, and in its jumping process, it shoots out pebbles. And those pebbles hit a utensil and break a utensil, my love. What is the subject of this price? It can go on the avad talsa zimna. Three times the animal repeated this behavior. It becomes a pattern. It becomes like a chazaka, b'halka miflagi. Mar, according to the Yeshom in the second Tana, is Savar Yesh Hadah. There is Hadah Titzvaros, and therefore you pay like a Sharmuot. You pay Nezek Sholem. Umar, but the Tanakam holds Ein. Savar Ein Hadah. There's no Hadah in Tzvaros. You always pay Chatzi Nezek. Lo. Gemara says, no, you don't have to interpret the Bryce in that way. It's possible the Bryce is talking about a case of Bechad Zimna, the Tanagol did this Torah trick only once. The Machlokas here reflects the Machlokas between Sumchus. In the Tana Basra, it says, Arei Zemud, that Sumchus pays Nezek Sholem, even in the case of Tzoros, and the Tana Kama, Eino Muad holds you pay Chatzi Nezek, because that's the Rabbanon of Sumchus, that Chatzi Nezek Tzoros, Talach of Moshe Visina is Chatzi Nezek. Toshma, but maybe I have another Bryce that could possibly tip the scale on the question whether there is Hadah in Tzoros or not. Behema Shitila Glolim Le'isa. The animal left its excrement on a doe. Obviously, the doe is going to be thrown out, and this hezek is not a direct hezek from the animal's body, but rather from pieces that come out of this, shoot out of the animal's body. That's called kocha, and therefore it should be subcategorized under tzroros. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Meshalim Nezek Sholem, Rabbi Elazar Omer Chatzi Nezek. So again, at this point, the Gemara is unwilling to say that this is the old machlokas between Sumchus and Rabbanan. The Gemara tries its hand at my love Kigon di Ovet Tlosa Zimni, we're talking about a case, according to the Chachomim, Chatzin Ezek Soros, but there was Hadah, and the animal continuously, three times over, repeats this behavior, Tad Bahakam Miflegi, Rabbi Yehuda Mar, Sovar Yesh, Hadah, and therefore you pay Nezek Sholem, Umar, and Rabbi Elazar in this price, who says Chatzin Ezek, Sovar Ein, Hadah, there's no Hadah in Sroros. The Gemara says, lo. Really go, let's go back to Chad. Bechad Zimna only did this Hatolos Glolim on the Isa once. Ube Plutu Sumchus Rabboniko Mifligi. And now the Gemara is not happy. Why would Sumchus insist that this is a case of Nezek Sholem under the law of Regal, under the law of Tzoros, from Mishunahu? Isn't this very strange that the animal would choose, of all places, to let out its excrement over this Isa? I mean, what, you know, how could you anticipate this thing? So why would Tzumchus say in this case you pay Nezek Sholem under the law of Tzroros of Regal? It's not Urche. And the Gemara answers the Dachik Le Alma. There is a situation, a scenario in which the animal letting out its Glolim onto the Isa is in fact Urche. And what's that case of Dachik Le Alma? In other words, there was no other place. The Isa was located in such a place where, given the position of the animal, and the animal has to be Matil Glolim, it was a very narrow little strip, and there it couldn't move to this side or that side. That's where the animal is, so to speak, trapped. And that's where the Isa was underneath the animal. So the Glolim come down on the animal. That's certainly Urche. The Gemara now comes back and asks the question on the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar in this braisa, if it's the identical machlokas as Sumchus v'Rabbanon, is lema Rabbi Yehuda halacha k'Sumchus v'lema Rabbi Elazar halacha k'Rabbanon? Why disguise this and camouflage this machlokas in the case of Glolim and Hatolis Glolim on an Isa? Why did you just say outright Rabbi Yehuda passes like Sumchus, and therefore Chazi Nezek Soros pays Nezek Sholim? And Rabbi Elazar paskins like the Chachamim that the Aloch Lamosh Misinai of Tzroros is Chatzi Nezek and only Chatzi Nezek. Why would the Braisa be deliberately ambiguous when it could have been crystal clear and straightforward? Glolim Itzrich. No, there's an extra chiddush here in the Braisa about Hatolos Glolim. Salkat, I mean, I would have thought Hoil Ubasa Gufe Grira Ke Gufe Damya. You might think that even the Chachamim would agree that you pay Nezek Sholem. And when I say the Chachamim, I mean Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you only pay Chatzin Nezek. Here you would agree it's Nezek Sholem. And why? This is not a case of Tzroros. Tzroros is when there's something external to the animal, and the animal throws it out and shoots it out. That's Tzoros. But here, the Glolim clearly come from the animal, the Guf HaBeim itself. That's called the Hezek of Gufe. Kamashmalan know that these Glolim are to be defined as Tzoros. Toshma, we have another Braisa. Ditani Rami Bar Yechezkel. Tarnagol Shahoshit Rosho Liavik Lizchuchis. The chicken went into, puts its head inside the airspace of a glass bowl, Vitokabo, and let out a kukuriko. Ushvaro, and the high pitch of this coal completely smashes this glass utensil. Is the Braisa says, Mishalem Nezek Sholem. On the other hand, Omrav Yosef, Omri Bey Rav, Sus Shetzonaf, a horse that lets out a neigh, or Chachom Shenoar, Vishibra Sakir, in other words, when the voice, you know, the decibels of the voice of the animal breaks a utensil, is Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. So how do we reconcile the Braisa of Rami Bar Yechezkel with the statement of Rav Yosef? They seem to be a head-on collision. My love, kigon di ovat losa zimni, that the animal repeated this kind of hezek bekol with its voice on three consecutive occasions. And here we're on Yutes Amud Aleph, Ubahaka Miflegi. And what are they arguing about? Mar, the first price of Rami Bar Yecheskel, Sofar Yesh Hada Litzros Nifipe Nezek Sholem Umar. But the second statement, which is Rav Yosef attributed to Rav, in the case of the Sus and the Chamor, Vipe Chatzi Nezek, is that Shita is Sofar Ein Hada, there's no Hada Litzros. So we now have a final conclusion that there is a debate about this very suffix of Rava. Lo, the Gemara says, we're not talking about Hadah where the animal repeats itself three times, but Bechad HaZim it only did it once. Uve plukta nesunchas rabbanan kam miflegi. It's the old machlokas about Tzroros, because the kol is something that comes out of the animal, it's not directly from its kuf. That makes it into Tzroros. And the question is, do you pay Nezek Sholem in Tzroros or Chatzi Nezek? So the Gemara says, Vameshunahu. Isn't this unusual? Like the Gemara talks about before, if you remember the Tarnagol pecking at the rope. And the Gemara had to come up with a scenario in Ukimta where there was something around the rope, the Isa, and that made it Urche. Same thing here. You know, when's the last time you saw a chicken pop its head into a glass jar? So even Sukkah should have to agree here in this case that Yoli Pei Chatzi Nezek Midin Shartam Midin Mishuna. And the Gemara answers to Ispe Bir Bizrani. What does it mean, Isle Bizrani? Not Birzani. Don't get confused. Bizrani. We're talking about a case where the Zroim, right, Bizrani means Zroim, seeds that are inside the Kli, and the chicken loves to get at these, you know, gobble up these seeds. And the only way it can get access to it is by placing its head inside the bowl to peck at and eat up these seeds. And then it lets out a certain noise which breaks the kli. So we have a classical case of urche, but it's tzroros. And we're back to the machlok shin sumchus rabbana, whether you pay nezek sholim for tzroros or chatzi nezek. So we'll stop here, Mitzvah Shem, and the next shiur to do Yutes Amud Aleph.